High first thing in the morning.
That's hard after coming off the road.
We didn't do a vocal. That was the vocal warm up. So now we're ready to sing.
Vocal warm up for tonight.
It sounded good.
Alright.
So what do you got next?
Well,
how about You Don't Care About Time?
Sure, we could play that.
I mean, unless you got another story to throw in.
Yeah,
do a story and then we'll do that.
Well, the band
talk
is kind of
talk about Dig, because this ties in with Dig.
Sure,
kind
why not?
Of.
Sure, why not?
Why not? It's an album we just released.
Am I telling or are you telling?
You started off.
You tune, okay? You just go over there and tune.
All right, yeah, you started.
Kurt likes to talk.
Our latest album, Dig.
There, he's talking. Now tune.
Tune.
I am
all right,
tuning.
So,
I am tuning.
So what I'm trying to say here.
Hey, wait a minute.
It's funny.
Hey, guys.
It's funny when you get all these people on the mic and everybody wants to say something. Dave is like the best guy over there. He doesn't say anything. Unless spoken to. I'm kidding.
Oh, you are bad.
We've been on the road.
We've been on the road now.
Here, I'll tell the story.
During
COVID, we were locked inside our studio, which is not a bad thing. And we decided, because we couldn't actually work all together on original music, we'd actually try to record some of the songs that had influenced us most as we were becoming musicians and learning. And, you know, so what we did is we did all these songs of bands that we loved. And one of those bands is called The Birds. Mm. And that's the song that we're going to do now.
I couldn't have said it better.
So this song's influenced by The Birds?
This song is by The Birds.
It is The Birds. It's a Birds cover.
It's a Birds cover. Yeah, all right. Yeah, and actually it's funny because we had recorded this song that we're going to play. We did this actually many years back. And it came out on an album of ours called Inner Grooves. It was a compilation of stuff. But Dig is a collection where, like you said, we recorded two albums worth of stuff. And we did all this music, like that inspired us, like
the zombies,
Journey to the Center of the Mind. We did the Who. Well, we didn't do the Who. That was on the other thing.
We did the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, we did All Tomorrow's Parties by the Velvet Underground.
Nice,
a kind of different version.
But it was great because Dig was very well received, and it's been doing very well for us ever since. We're on a record label called Gem Records.
Yeah, and our idea really was to take those songs and do something else with them. Like, you know, you can do a cover song, but if you can take that song,
make it your own,
maybe take it to somewhere that hasn't been heard, that's a good thing to try to do. He's still tuning.
It's hot.
So the story I was going to tell was we early on, we kind of based the band on sort of a power pop with harmonies kind of approach. And by power pop, I mean like aggressive rock,
sure.
You know, with harmonies, which is kind of hard to do. You have to get it right. You have to not play too loud so that the vocals come through. And we've always had these three-part harmony things that we would do.
Real quickly.
Yeah.
You're listening to 91.5 WMFON Medford.
It's really out.
Station ID.
Yes.
It was in before. Wasn't
top
it?
Of the hour. I have to do it.
Yeah. No doubt. What are you doing over there?
It's just having trouble.
Yeah,
not
so.
Not behaving.
Yeah, it must be.
I can turn his down.
Yes.
So The Birds was a really kind of important band for us, especially my brother and I. the whole thing about Dig was the songs that we were interested in and found was it was like digging for buried treasure for music. When we were kids.
Now, is this your last album, Dig?
Yeah, we just put this out. It was a pandemic record and we pulled it all together. We just put it out last year. And so the music to us represented buried treasure. It was like you couldn't find it. It was nowhere. It was out of print. And so when you found it, it was like, oh, my God, we got the lost chord here. You know, like, oh, my God, the Holy Grail.
Right.
And we're so excited to bring these records home and listen, you know. And there was an excitement about that that I think is missing a little bit. I mean, it's great to have access like you do of all this music, you know, online. And you can just say, hey, I want to hear, you know, the most crazy thing. And you can pull it up on your computer
or
on your phone. And you couldn't do that back then. It was really hard to find. And it just made it very exciting and charged to get this music. And it felt very much like we were in a private club, you know. It was like very personal, you know. And if you met somebody at school or something that was wearing like a Target shirt or something, you'd be like, hey, I know what you're about, you know.
Not the store.
That's what I was thinking. Is Target a
beer? I know. What generation do you think you're talking
to? The Target symbol, like the Who.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Kurt.
You know what? Because we
still are. No, I know exactly what you're talking about now.
We're still in our own little club. You guys thought Target. I'm thinking like, you know, the symbol.
Yeah, the Keith Moon used to wear.
Keith Moon, the Who.
I shop there, too.
Yeah, Target. Oh, my God.
All right, I'm semi into. Let's try.
What's up there? Okay.
I think it's the
humidity. Anyway. Maybe it's a tuner. We're going to do a song by the Birds. She Don't Care About Time. Goes like this. Hallways and staircases, every day to climb. To go up to my white ballroom, out on the edge of time. Where I can be with my love, for she is all that is mine. And she'll always be there, my love, don't care about time. I laugh with her, cry with her, hold her close, she is mine. The way she tells me of her love, she tried. She don't have to be assured of many good things to find. And she'll always be there, my love, don't care about time. Eyes are dark and deep with love, her hair hangs long and fine. She walks with ease and all she sees is never wrong or right. And with her arms around me tight, I see her all in my mind. And she'll always be there, about time. She'll always be there, my love, don't care about time.
Great stuff, guys.
Thank you.
What's next?
I don't know. Well, you want to do another one?
Okay.
Want to do Rainy Day? Try that.
Sure.
Well, you can play it.
I will.
You guys have till 2:30, so
okay,
whatever time? You want to do till 2:30. It's 10 past.
It's what?
10 past.
Ten past. I thought you said 10,000.
It's Roy. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
It's only hot.
AC's going too. It still feels hot.
Yeah.
Better than I was.
It's 95
out there. Well, it's July, right?
Boston heat.
Yes.
Heat waves.
Mm. One of those.
You could be in Vegas.
Wicked heat.
Yes, I'd rather
it's
not
wicked
be there.
Hot. It's
wicked hot.
You don't leave the casinos then.
It's not raining.
Yeah,
yeah, we're happy about that. So this, it's funny you say that because the song we're going to do right now is called Rainy Day.
Yeah, let's not invoke that.
So we're not going to bring it. We're not bringing the rain. But.
Hi, Johnny.
It's actually, this is Rainy Day number 1, 2, and 3.
It's the only one I know.
Yeah.
What's the first chord?
This.
We went over this.
What's the first chord?
You want me to play it?
No, just tell me the first chord.
A.
Brooke will play the beginning.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. In the sun, light my way, reaching out to you every day. In the days gone before, never knew there was so much more. Save it for a rainy day, save it for you. Blame it on the weatherman, it's all you ever do. Or will she do what she's done too late? Save it for a rainy day, save it for you. Blame it on the weatherman, it's all you ever do. Somehow never lost, measured by what's in her eyes. In the sun, light my way, reaching out to you every day. In the days gone before, never knew there was so much more. Save it for a rainy day, save it for you. Blame it on the weatherman, it's all you ever do. Waiting for love to pass you by, only to lose. Save it for a rainy day, it's all you ever do. It's all you ever do. All let's do the Kristen song.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a song off Dig.
Let me just, once again.
Once again.
Just
yeah, this is a song off the Dig album. And who did it originally?
The Nightcrawlers.
The Nightcrawlers.
We're going deep here.
Yeah. And this is one that we decided to take in a whole new direction and put Kristen on lead vocal. And it's called, what's it called?
Little Black Egg.
Oh, yeah, it's called Little Black Egg.
Ready?
No problem. Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Don't care what they say. I'm gonna keep it anyway. I won't let them stretch their necks to see my little black egg with the little white specks.
Just the other day, but now it's mine, all mine. They will take it away.
Here comes Debbie, here comes Lee. I've got what they want to see. I won't let them stretch their necks to see my little black egg with the little white specks.
I found it in a dream just the other day, but now it's mine, oh mine, they can take it away.
Oh darling, what can I do? The little black egg's gonna tell on you. I won't let them stretch their necks to see my little black egg with the little white specks. To see my little black egg. To see my little black egg. To see my little black egg. See my little black egg.
Woo!
Right.
Woo! Right.
Now, was that a cover?
Yes.
Who does that?
The Nightcrawlers.
I know.
You knew that, right?
I didn't know that, but I knew I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a notorious garage cover.
Somehow it's garage, but
hey,
I don't know.
Let's do
why.
Every Minute.
Oh, I was going to suggest the other song on. Dick, I love you.
We don't.
Which
no,
I don't play.
No,
it's not too bad.
No, we don't have the flute. We don't.
Let's do Every Minute.
We have the flute.
All right.
We gotta do one of our own.
Well, we just did before.
We're
okay.
Not
we'll do Every Minute.
Yeah. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Present.
mind to see the time was at the end. Every minute calling to awake to a sound behind the space where a movement is found. Show me every day my conception is new, living every moment and the sound is in you. Every second glistening in spaces in between, coming into focus and cannot be seen. Busy in the heights until I finally let it go. I rise above the prison that I see below. Every minute calling to awake to a sound behind the space where a movement is found. Show me every day my conception is new, living every moment and the sound is in you.
Very cool.
It's usually a more rock version that we do.
Okay.
But we adapt. We're adaptable.
It rocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, with drums and bass even.
Yeah. I can, well, you know, I can imagine.
Loud.
The song works acoustically. I always think, well, it's going to work with the full electric if it works just acoustically.
Uh-huh. That's kind of the way we write songs, I think. If you know you have something, that's kind of the mark to us of a song that's half decent. If it works without anything, you know, just an acoustic, or if you're on piano or something, but, you know, if it's just you and a guitar, if it works, okay, that's a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then it only can only get better when you add the band, you know?
Sure.
So there you go.
There you go.
What else we can, we want to do one more, or what should we do?
One more.
What?
Salad Days?
No, let's not do Salad Days. How about we do After Summer?
Well, I can play that. Let me have the 12 string.
Okay.
You do some percussion, Rick.
Yeah, so we do a...
It's out of tune.
Actually, maybe I'll just sit over there.
It's out of tune, too.
Oh, I'll make it work. Yeah. Oh, look at this. I'm...
Looks like playing Twister.
If you guys can see the visual.
Right hand, blue dot.
Wow.
It keeps moving.
Oh, this tuner is bad. That's the problem.
You want this one?
No.
Gripweeds love 12 strings, but 12 strings are very temperamental in this weather.
Hey, it's in tune.
Wow. All
right, we do an acoustic section of our set live, even with the electric band. And from the drums, I play acoustic guitar. and play drums too and sing.
Wow.
And yeah, it's kind of a mind thing. Jedi mind trick. He's got to get really in the zone to do it. And this song is called After the Sunrise.
What do you do when hope is gone? What do you say to love gone wrong? Where do you go so you belong? Maybe you just start walking, looking for blue sky, watching the sunrise, blow away the bad vibes, after the sunrise. When all the chips are falling down, and what you've lost cannot be found, feels like no one can hear the sound. When it's my heart that's breaking, tears in your eyes shine, watching the sunlight, making it all right after the sunrise. Make up a world not based on fear. Reach out and touch, it seems so near. That's how we make it happen. Looking for blue sky,
watching the sunrise,
blow away the bad vibes.
Sunrise,
tears in your eyes shine, watching the sunrise, making it all right after the sunrise.
Everyone, thank you, Boston. Thank you, Medford. Tufts.
It was fantastic.
All yous out there.
Hopefully I'll see you tonight.
Well, I'm hoping too.
All right.
But if not, we're making the most of the present and enjoying our time with you.
Thank you.
Brian.
I appreciate your company.
Yeah.
Brian.
So you got a big show today, huh?
Yeah. You're up.
Hey, everybody. That was the Gripweeds. If you miss this show, you got one more chance on Sunday, but don't miss this show. Go see him twice. You know, why see him once when you can see him twice?
Why not?
Off the couch. It's hot as hell out there. Air conditioning, square root, great sound, great food, great place. And we've also got American Ocelot on the bill and Fling from New Hampshire, a great power pop band. And then the next day on Sunday, Gripweeds are playing at 4:30 at the Worthinghouse Attic in beautiful downtown Lowell. And we're playing with the Stagmatics.
And we are playing different songs, too. We're changing up the set list. So.
Oh, okay,
even if you
good.
Come out on at the Square Root and you see us the next day, you'll see some different stuff.
You heard it. Different songs.
You got it.
Can't beat it. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'll play one more off of this. What song do you want me to play?
Rick, what do you think? Journey to the Center of the Mind?
Yes, Journey to the Center of the Mind.
Yeah, that's a cover tune off Dig.
Let me see.
Great.
Amboy Dukes.
Yes.
Doesn't look like we have it.
Oh, that's okay. Then we'll go with an original, right? What should we do? Pick it. Salad Days.
Salad Days? I don't have Salad Days.
What do you got?
Every minute?
Yeah, play that. Well, we played that. Why would we? Yeah, just played that. Don't play that.
Okay, I got that.
How about,
Raise the Rain.
That's going to be tough. How about Casual Observer to a Crime? You got that one? Casual Observer?
No.
Why, you don't have that?
We had a ton of them here. Change?
Go with that.
Is that a good one?
Yeah.
Yeah, play Change.
All right.
Well, it's weird what you have and what you don't have. I don't understand.
More Grip Weeds.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Too much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I want to free me now!
.5 WMFO Medford. That was Johnny Thunders with the Daughters. What year was that?
My friend, that was probably the early 1980s, 81 or 82.
Very good. Sounded good. Leave Me Alone. Or Chatterbox, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, I got a date right here, Brian. By the way, this is Simon speaking. That was the living room in Providence, Rhode Island, on January 26th, 1983.
I've been to the living room.
A lot of great shows at the living room. Mm. And we played with Johnny, by we, I mean Joe and myself here, with the Daughters. We played with Johnny at the living room several times.
If you're wondering now what's going on, we have Joe Mazzari back from 61 Ghosts. We have Simon Ritt. and they used to play in the Daughters together, and played a lot with Johnny Thunders. And you were also Two Saints too, right?
Two Saints after that, yeah.
Oh, I don't have your mic up. Two Saints was after the Daughters.
The Daughters sort of morphed into Two Saints.
Yeah. And different folks too. There are different folks in the Two Saints at that time. And I'll let Simon do most of the talking, but the But the deal with the Daughters was our manager at that time, Jim Nestor, who, as I mentioned, recently passed away. Jim offered us this gig to open for Johnny, and next thing you know, we do a bunch of openings, and then Johnny had the audacity to come on stage like he owned the place.
Yeah.
And came on stage, and he'd do a song or two, and eventually it molded into Jim saying, hey, do you guys want to play with him? And here's the last thing for me. The ironic thing is you just play Chatterbox, which my friend, my longest-term friend on the planet, Simon, played me Chatterbox about 250 years ago. And I thought, you know what? I wasn't even playing music. If this guy does this lead on Chatterbox, like, I can play guitar. I can do that.
Yeah.
And then to have it, how many years later that I'm standing on stage doing that? You know, on stage with him. Talk about crazy.
Yes.
So, like, I learned how to play guitar by thinking I can play a song called Chatterbox, and there you are playing with him. And I blame Simon. I blame Simon for this.
I don't blame you. My band used to cover Chatterbox.
Cool song.
Yeah. Great. It's a really cool song. One of the Dolls' best, I think.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I guess before we get too far, we should mention that today would have been Johnny Thunders, I believe, 72nd birthday. So we're here doing this little on-air celebration of all things Dolls, Heartbreakers, Johnny, etc. And before we go any further, before we get too deep into Johnny Thunders weeds, I just have to say that I think the Grip weeds were great. I hope a lot of people out there were listening to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely killer band.
Yeah, really cool. And it's a pleasure to have Dan Anklin in studio
with
us.
Yep, we got bootleg Dan
in
on
Dixie,
hand.
Dixie Deadwood.
Dixie well. Deadwood.
If
you go.
If you're going to be anywhere near the Square Root tonight, that's where you want to be.
There you go.
Square Root. Drip Weeds. American Ocelot.
Fling.
And Dan said he's going to do an a cappella set.
Oh, yeah?
All the Dictator songs.
Yeah,
Dan, don't pull away now.
Handsome Bootleg Joe.
Handsome Dan.
Handsome Dan.
Thanks, guys.
So that's my story.
Yeah, he's Dan, not Joe. What am I saying?
Yeah, I'm over here.
Yeah, you're very handsome.
That acid kicked in, didn't it, right?
A long time ago.
Just, CBD.
Just a flashback
CBD.
There.
So that was cool, playing Johnny from the living room. Simon's got some really cool bootleg stuff to play.
What do you want to do?
You know, just to follow up on what Joe was saying, we came up and we liked all the British bands, of course, the Yardbirds and the Kinks and the Stones. And, you know, there were other bands before Johnny and the Dolls, but all those guys were older than us. Some of them were married. They were in England. There was no way we were ever going to get to play with them. And there was something about Johnny that it seemed doable. Like, as Joe was saying, I had a burning passion to play with this guy. I'm living in Central Florida, you know, 2,000 miles from New York City or whatever this is. And the fact that Joe and I, along with the Daughters, actually formed a relationship and a friendship with Johnny was, it's not just that we hooked up with this cool band. It was like we hooked up with our absolute musical icon.
That's great.
It's one of those instances, and I think I've said this before, but just one of those, you know, you're absolute biggest wish coming true at a really young age. And frankly, I've had a good life. I've played with some great people around the Boston area in some, you know, really notable bands that won awards and made good recordings. But ever since I've played with Johnny Thunders, everything else has been anticlimactic.
Right.
Thank you. Present company accepted.
You get what you want at a really young age.
Son of a bitch.
And, you know, it's kind of like, be careful what you ask for type of thing.
Yeah.
Not that any of us would take back a single second of those times.
Right.
And the irony, too, is that Johnny's saying to me countless times, you know, Joe, I didn't know my direction until I met you, and, you know.
Did he?
No.
No. Wow.
What am I going to do with this music thing? And then I saw the daughters perform, and Joe, you specifically. Am I right, Si?
I believe that's when he decided to give up guitar and, and go into free verse.
I thought he went back into baseball.
You know, that's funny you said that. He was a good ball player.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you don't mind my saying this, Johnny came and stayed at our house in Nahant for a little while. And that was interesting. That was interesting to have Johnny stay at our, actually in Lynn and in Nahant.
Was he on the junk at the time?
He was, it was a given. He was always on the junk when we knew him.
But to be like throwing, we're like playing catch with the football in front of our house in Nahant, which is a pretty surreal, we don't live in Nahant now, but at that time, here you are, you're in a band living in this rental house, and you're throwing the football with Johnny Thunders in the front street, and he's telling you how he really could have been like a good ball player, baseball player, and that whole thing. And but sometimes you step back and go, what the hell? And we'd go to the gig early, and then Johnny would show up at the gig with whatever clothes he took out of our closet.
He'd wear your clothes.
You're like, that's my hat, and my strings are missing.
And that's my girlfriend's shirt.
That's my girlfriend. So it got interestingly personal at times. And Johnny, like, coming up to me in a meek kind of voice and going, at that time, my girlfriend was Erica. He goes, Erica is making some cookies. Do you think she'd mind if I could have a couple?
He wanted to buy one.
Yeah, he wanted to buy some cookies from her. And you're like, just,
that's the way it is on the street.
Yeah, good. But he's being polite. Respecting.
Can I buy a cookie from you?
Yeah, give me a cookie. It wasn't like that at all. He was like, he could be a very polite guy.
Yeah.
I think that was part of his allure, that he was one of those people, totally unpredictable. And he had these moments of normality, but what was the word? Mercurial?
Yeah.
You just never knew where he, you know, if he was going to be normal or if he was going to be Johnny, which was a blast.
And sometimes Johnny was a little, I mean, we'd have to say it, a little bit like getting ready to go on stage, backstage, and all of a sudden he's kind of slurry and almost, I mean, believe me, he had his addictions.
Right.
But I think sometimes he would maybe exaggerate it a bit because that's what the crowd wanted.
Sure.
I distinctly remember playing Jonathan Swift's, this is like it's yesterday. I'm off to the side playing bass, and there's a couple college guys. I know I told you, college guys at that time, which means that they're over 100 years old now. And these two guys are like watching him, and I'm listening to them talk. And they're both like enamored beyond. They're like, this is like watching the effing Rolling Stones. I can't get it. And that's when it would hit you. You know, at times like that where you'd see the audience reaction or you'd watch him walk into a venue and you go, you know the expression, this person has it, you know, like...
Yeah, wow, the it factor.
Yeah, this presence. He would walk in and you go, like, okay, he's here. Even though he would be coming back to our house, you go, like, okay, cool, it's Johnny. Mm. But you'd see the crowd be, like, attentive.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, you couldn't go out with him to buy a pack of cigarettes at a bodega without him attracting attention. And he didn't even have to try. I mean, he could just be in what for Johnny would be street clothes, which was still, you know, always looked great. And he just had this charisma that was organic that I've never seen since being on the periphery of the music scene over the years. I've had the chance to, what's the expression, rub elbows, rub shoulders with some pretty well-known performers and have some great experiences. And I've seen a couple people, big, you know, really big names. and they're close, but they don't have what Johnny had. And it's also, I think this is part of his allure, you know, relatively speaking, commercially, he was a pipsqueak. His records sold, you know, in the tens of thousands. But his influence on, you know, some of the biggest million-selling rock stars in the world, you know, these people commercially and financially probably outclassed him by a factor of, you know, who knows. But any one of them, you know, I wish I could be as cool as Johnny. And you couldn't. You just either were or you weren't. It's a rare commodity.
It's funny, and the attraction...
I think we're all pretty cool in this room.
Dan especially. You know...
Is he cool as Keith
Richards?
You know, I've thought about this a lot.
Tell the story of him running into Keith at like 3 in the morning.
No, you're thinking of Jerry Nolan.
Was Jerry and Keith? I thought it was Johnny and Keith.
It was a Johnny and Keith, but... I've thought a lot about people compare them.
1 second. 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
I remember a kid coming to Johnny after a gig at a club somewhere in this area and asking Johnny the kind of obvious question like, oh, Johnny, you must be really into Keith Richards, huh? And I remember Keith like almost, I remember Johnny's reply almost verbatim was like, yeah, Keith's okay, but Jimmy Page is my man. Jimmy Page is my main man. I remember that expression, Jimmy Page is my main man. And then I think you can hear more of the Yardbirds influence. I mean, he definitely covered the Stones and stuff, but he would throw in Yardbirds riffs too. And, you know, it's easy to be the world's most notorious junkie when if you never make another record or if you never play another show, you're still going to be a multimillionaire for the rest of your life. And Keith Richards has done that brilliantly. But I think it's more of a challenge to maintain that lifestyle and your music when you're, you know, I mean, Johnny got, you know, he was never in the Rolling Stones leagues financially. You know,
no way.
We saw him many times hustling, you know, just for enough money to make himself, you know, feel well. He, kind of getting back to Dan's question, who is cooler, Johnny or Keith? I would have to say, obviously, Keith has the track record, much more prolific artist, you know, many more songs than Johnny ever wrote.
And he has the means to be
That's cool. What I'm saying, he has the means to be cool. But I would say, well, I was just to simplify, I would say that Keith Richards was the coolest English junkie rock musician, and Johnny Thunders was the coolest American junkie rock musician.
Why compare?
You know what was interesting, though? And you bring up Keith, and this kind of threw me. And Dixie and I, what we do in 61 Ghosts, it can be kind of blues-based. So we've been into the blues for a long time. And the morning... You didn't see Johnny, like, really excited about a lot of stuff, you know? It was very rare. And what really threw me was one morning when he was heading off to go jam with Hubert Sumlin, who used to be Howlin' Wolf's guitar player. And it caught me off guard. I'm like, wow, he seems really excited about this. In my head, I'm going, Johnny's not going to know Hubert Sumlin. And, like, you know, I was pretty well-versed in Simon as well, Dixie for sure. Well-versed in Howlin' Wolf and Hubert Sumlin, and go like, wow, Johnny's into him. And you could tell, like, he had a good time, but he had wished that Hubert played more rhythm than lead. Hubert kind of played a lot of lead. But, like, for Johnny Thunders and Hubert Sumlin, man, I would have loved to have been on a fly on the wall for that jam session.
Yeah. You know, Hubert Sumlin, you think of him as this kindly old, you know, ethnic blues guitar player, but I think he had a pretty self-destructive streak too. He was kind of famous for living on the edge.
Yeah, the earlier days.
I mean, he doesn't look it because he was so natty and he'd be wearing a suit and a tie, but I think he had the same habits as Johnny.
Yeah, but I wonder who put that together for those guys to jam. In any event, I thought it was really